Even so, that claim was not a reality until John Chrysostom was patriarch, and he made it a reality. He carried out a number of actions that made Constantinople the religious center of Asia Minor and the Eastern Roman Empire, on par with its political and administrative importance created by Constantine. For one, John carried out one of the great acts of hijacking religious relics and traditions ever in the Roman world. Mary, who was associated with the city of Ephesus, as were John and Mark, was transferred to Constantinople to become the protector of the city. And by 626 AD, it's her icons that protect Constantinople, and somehow the bishops in Ephesus allowed this to happen. It's still a little puzzling to me, but in effect, Ephesus lost her unique role in Asia Minor. And you would have thought that the bishop in Ephesus would emerge as a powerful figure because that's where the shrine of Mary originally was, and Ephesus was where St. Paul had preached, whereas Constantinople was completely an imperial foundation. There was probably no significant Christian community there in the time of the great persecutions. I think they probably had to import Christians if they wanted to persecute them in Byzantium in the time of the Severans. So this was an extremely important move by John Chrysostom. Second, John Chrysostom is known to us through his writings. His name means the golden mouthed. He was a brilliant orator. He adapted classical oratory to sermons. And furthermore, he upheld the independent position of the patriarch. And it's very often said that the emperor in Constantinople had turned his patriarch into his private priest, and that's not so. The patriarch had his own position, and above all, John pioneered the ties of patronage, which linked the cities of Asia Minor to the patriarchate. That is, the bishops and the abbots of the great monasteries came to Constantinople. They were invested by the Patriarch of Constantinople. And so the Patriarch came to exercise a very important control over these areas. Now, John achieved this by the time he was deposed. His successors faced some very difficult rivals in the Patriarchs of Alexandria. And eventually their position would be vindicated at the Ecumenical Council of 451, where it will be the interpretation of what is known as the Chalcedonian Creed. It's the Christology where Christ is both human and divine that will be proclaimed. This is the creed followed by Rome and Constantinople, and the Monophysite, the single nature creed of Christ by Alexandria, will be condemned. And so the patriarchs will be assured of keeping that position, certainly in Asia Minor and the Aegean world, although they lose Egypt, Syria, and Armenia as a result. Nonetheless, John had created this role, had given the patriarchs that position, and they could pursue this policy and maintain themselves as the arbiters of the what is becoming the Orthodox or the Eastern Christian Church. Well, this brings me to the third individual to look at, and that is Justinian. And Justinian, who came to the throne in 527 and 565 and ruled until his death in 565, I mentioned, dominated the 6th century. He spent much of his reign attempting to reconquer the western provinces, and it is his actions in the military and fiscal life of the empire that bankrupted his empire. It exposed the Eastern Roman Empire to a new succession of invasions and eventually plunged his empire into political and military crisis. And this will occur in the generation after his death. Yet there are many achievements to his credit, among the most important is his completion of making Constantinople the queen of cities. Justinian is responsible for the construction of he's not the first, but he sponsors the construction of many important domed churches throughout the city. He starts with the more modest church of Sergius and Bacchus early in his reign, in which the dome building is based on what's known as a squinch dome, that is a dome resting on an octagonal plan. His masterpiece is the Hagia Sophia, dedicated in 537 and then repaired again in 548. It is the most impressive building in some ways still in modern Istanbul. It is a 6th century building. Its dome is larger than any of the Ottoman imperial mosques built 1,000 or 1,200 years later. It is achieved by a feat in Roman engineering that really represents the climax to the construction in concrete and brick, which the Romans had devised, about 200 BC.